How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's a Dusty Mayday here in the G-Bag Nation. New Mavericks head coach set to join us here in the next 8 minutes or so. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll get you the G-Bag of the Day champion, and we'll filibuster until Coach May gets here. Segment here in the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, go ahead and call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333. And here is Lucius with your champ.
All right, this is going for, I don't know, maybe four today at 5:30? Maybe four. I'm okay. Yeah,
very good.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it is our very young quarterback here in the G-Bag Nation, Gavin Dawson. Bobby Bell is poking fun of him because Gavin Dawson has some diabolical transitions when it comes to radio topics. He can start from one topic, go to another without a pause, without a care. Here's some examples.
I mean, I think we've all just watched in horror about these riots, you know, the last couple days in Charlottesville. But again, that's nothing compared to the riots, of course, that Cowboys fans are having right now after Ezekiel Elliott was suspended for 6 games yesterday by Roger Goodell. Stephen Hawking was just this larger-than-life figure, not only in science, but in classrooms, lecture halls, and even pop culture for several decades, you know? And he will be missed. Salute. All right, Nation. Speaking of ALS, all's the Mavs needed last night was 13 from Dirk Nowitzki. They beat the Knicks 110-97. I just think we were all stunned yesterday, you know, when we started to see that news come out about Kobe. And, you know, you're just saying to yourself, that can't be real. But it was. Speaking of Kobe, we're a little under 81 days to the Masters now. It's a historic day, obviously, at the Supreme Court with the Roe v. Wade ruling. Well, we're going to hit a board a little early this evening as well. Rangers at Nationals pregame begins here in about 30 minutes. Certainly all of our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin after last night. Mavs were on the good end of a collapse last night as the Rockets blew an 18-point lead in the second half. Yeah, you see some of those reports, and apparently Rob Reiner had tried to get his son help for years. Even just really recently. All right, Nation. Cowboys fans are also trying not to lose their heads after yesterday's loss to the Vikings.
Lose your heads. That's crazy because he lost his head.
Yeah.
It's really
no shame.
Bad. Yeah, no shame. Yeah, stick around 5:30. I got some John Blaze for y'all.
Pumped.
Excited about that? Heck yes. Okay, we have Dusty May coming up in 5 minutes. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, Wolchuk?
We can slide into the top 10. I think we've got some of our Mavs PR people that are like looking at the Zoom right now.
Yes.
They're staring. They're waving. So we'll get Dusty May over here, and I'll pivot. I mean, I'm watching. I'm looking. I got eyes on this.
If you want
to jump into the fan cam, whether that's YouTube, that's Twitch, we'll have Coach May joining us in there. But yeah, I'm happy to dive into the top 10. It's National Fried Chicken Day, fellas. It's a glorious day. It's one that I love and that I think the majority of people do, unless for whatever reason you just don't like fried items.
Mike's. Okay. Mike's Fried Chicken.
Right down here?
Yeah. And what's that one in Deep Ellum, the famous somebody or whatever? Gus is famous or something
Gus's
like that?
Fried chicken. Yes.
Right there,
dude,
baby.
You just nailed a couple that are on the list with Gus's Fried Chicken.
I know some fried chicken. Take it
Absolutely.
From me.
Absolutely. All of that is good. All of that is there. I think that we might have Coach May ready to rock, Eric, if we want to dive in here with Coach.
Look at this right here, live on the fan cam,
ripped.
Twitch and YouTube, smiling, looking sharp with the Mavericks shirt on. It is your new Dallas Mavericks head coach, Dusty May, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Coach May, how the heck are you, dude? We are freaking pumped to have you.
We are, man.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So how's everything been? Has this just been super chaotic for you, trying to get everything figured out? You thought you were going to be sticking around at Michigan. You put your whole roster back together, going for championship number two, and then Ujiri and the Mavericks, Cooper Flag potentially, just getting you right here to the league. How's this all been?
It's been a whirlwind. Obviously, the life part is the most challenging because you're spending so many hours trying to get to know the players, hire a staff, meet all the new people in the organization, and then you realize just life is still happening around you. So at some point I need to find a place to live and things like that. But fortunately I have a great wife who's handling a lot of that.
That's the best thing in the world right there, having the family. Saw them all at the intro presser, so that is a beautiful thing. As it stands right now, Coach, what do you think is going to be sort of the biggest challenge going from college to the NBA?
You know, I've talked to a lot of friends who've made the jump, and you know, there's there are several that were in college and then they transitioned slowly into the NBA through the G League or through the assistant route or whatever the case. But the 82-game season, the sheer amount of games and balancing and I guess improving without having any practice time. I was actually thumbing through practice plans for the last couple of years, and it's astounding that how few practices you have in the NBA. So you have to be extremely creative with your teaching and through film, through one-on-one time, and you almost have to steal teaching moments because you just don't have. I think at Michigan last year, we probably had between 120 and 130 practices during the actual season, and that's not even counting summer practices and fall practices. So just the, you know, we have to be much more creative in the summertime to establish our identity and get things in.
Coach, a lot of the focus has been on your guy, Rez Johnson, and rightly so, first overall pick for the Mavericks and an incredible player. But how collaborative was that process with you and the Mavs getting ready for the draft, having three of your guys be lottery picks from Michigan, and then you get hired on, what, just a day or two before?
Yeah, I was actually trying to read between the lines when they were asking about our players because I didn't know who we were going to take. And obviously, you know, you anticipate certain guys might be selected before you have a chance to take them. But the guys asked a lot of questions about Merez the morning of. And so I thought, man, there might be a better chance than I thought at Merez. But I really didn't know. And to be honest, Messiah texted me just before the pick that he was taking Merez, and I didn't see it for some reason. I didn't have my phone didn't buzz on the message. And so Merez's agent looked at me right before the selection, but he's also the same agency as a die. So I didn't know why he was so excited, whether it's because of Merez or die. But as soon as he called Merez, I was extremely excited. They're all three of our guys are elite players and human beings. And immediately after you get one of them, you start thinking about how they can fit into this puzzle. And we're excited that Merez is the one.
Coach, how do they fit into the puzzle? How does he fit into, you know, again, you have the advantage of a kid that's played at a very, very high level, championship type player. But how does his game translate for you to what you're going to do with him in the NBA?
Well, it's positional versatility. And I think when you look at Masai's teams that he built with his staff in Toronto, we're starting to resemble that, where we're going to have positional size that's switchable. And we'll have to continue to add to our skill sets. But Merez checks a lot of boxes. He has the NBA physicality and durability to play right now. He also is very self-aware, where he knows who he is and how he has to play to be at his best and to help the team function at its best. But he's also on Cooper's timeline. And you know, he's a great screener. He's a great connector and someone that can guard multiple positions. And so, you know, he's going to continue to work to add pieces and layers to his game, but he's ready to contribute from day one.
Coach, will it be a little bit of an advantage for him to have you as his head coach? Maybe in the transition, you know, I know there's always like learning curves and things like that, but is it going to be, and maybe you bring staff in from Michigan too to be a part of this, is that going to help his development right off the rip for him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're so relational, or we were so relational as a program at Michigan, that I think it's advantageous for both he and I.
Sure.
When the guys are in the locker room and maybe something got lost in translation, I think Rez could be a great sounding board for our players as we all get to know each other better. And then for myself to have someone that you already know how they learn, you already know how they are when they're at their best, and you already have the relationship built and established. So that's certainly, you know, one less thing to cross off the box, cross off your checklist. But I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides.
It's Dallas Mavericks head coach Dusty May with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Brian brought up the coaching staff. How is the staff coming together, and throughout all your stops, you know, what's the most important thing? What do you look for when you get that group together?
Well, the staff has come along very well. We're still waiting on a few contracts to be signed, but it's forming into place. I'm extremely excited. We have a well-rounded group that's going to support and work really, really well together. They're all elite in certain areas, and they also are able to contribute in some other ways. So we have a vast range of experiences. We have guys, there's not a carbon copy cookie cutter of what we're looking for. We're looking for guys who really, really complement each other well, and we form our own form of team. And when you do that and you have everyone where we're not afraid of blame, we're not looking for credit, we're simply trying to support our players and be champions together, then usually the group functions well together.
Coach, can you explain the psychology of your teaching and your coaching method when it comes to your approach with the players and just getting them to understand what it is you want them to do?
Yeah, well, we're very flexible and adaptable as teachers, but there's a certain way that the game is supposed to be played, in our opinion, and we're very stubborn to hold to that standard. How we get there changes each and every year depending on the skill set of our players, and especially the skill set of our best players. And so we still, as of today, don't really know exactly how we're going to play. We have to watch our guys and study them a little bit more, but there is a baseline, and it's a high level of intensity and unselfish basketball. It's a team sport. And I think everyone who watches the game enjoys it more when...
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
When teammates are connected, they're playing well together. They're playing unselfishly, but also with a high level of intensity and grit that the championship level teams have.
Was coaching in the NBA always a dream for you?
I wouldn't say a dream. It was always an aspiration, something that I always wanted to compete against the best, and I was always preparing to compete against the best. But if it never happened, I don't think I would have been unfulfilled as a basketball coach. I simply wanted to be the absolute best I could be. But yeah, as we've had the recent success at FAU in Michigan, it definitely seemed like it was going to become an option at some point. And so I've spent a lot of time, studying the NBA and going to training camps really the last 20 years, trying to learn the terminology and the nuance of the game, but while also watching extensively, especially come playoff time. So it's always been something in the back of my mind, but I don't really operate like that on a daily basis where I'm thinking of that. It's just, I guess, instead of hobbies, it's preparing for what could happen in the future.
Coach, what makes you such a damn good evaluator of players?
I definitely have to chalk luck up.
Come on now.
We've been very fortunate.
You know players.
Let me give you a hypothetical. There's three guys we're recruiting them, and maybe two of them eliminate us, and we get this guy, and he ends up being an all-league player, an NBA player. Then, I don't know. Is our environment and our culture better than for him than the other places, or do we just catch a stroke of luck? But there's a lot of layers that go into the success of players, but I do think we see the best in guys, and so we're not sitting here every day talking about what they can do, can't do. We're focused on what they can, and what's the secret sauce that they bring to this team and to this equation. So I think that's part of our success when it comes to evaluation.
Well, okay, with evaluation, what do you think about Sergio De La Rea, and do you have any more information on what the plan is for him this year with the Mavericks?
No, as far as the plan, I'm not sure exactly what the plan is for Sergio, but I'd actually watched him play in Valencia and had a good friend who played with him the year before this that raved about him as a player and as a teammate. And we've had a couple of summer league practices, and I can tell you he's been fun to watch and he's been fun to coach. He has a bright future. Obviously, there's a transition in the NBA for young guys, but he's going to be a very, very good NBA player for a long time.
It's Mavericks head coach Dusty May with us here in the G-Bag Nation. So how about the Cooper Flagg element of all of this? He got thrown into the deep end of the pool last year, playing a little bit of point guard and things like that. How do you envision the Cooper Flagg experience and how you best set him up to succeed?
Coop's unique because he can do a little bit of everything, and he gives you the positional versatility to play different guys, to play different types of lineups, and to play different types of styles. I think he's a 1-5 guy on both sides of the basketball. So whatever the team needs, but the one thing about Coop is as heralded as he was last year as a rookie of the year in the NBA, the most important thing to him is winning. And he's anxious to get back out and help the Mavs start winning at a high level.
What are you thinking about Kyrie and Coop together? I know all Mavs fans were super excited to see them. Unfortunately for Kyrie, wasn't able to play at all last year. So the excitement is palpable. With those, what's the vision there with those two?
Well, the vision is those two guys playing off of each other. You know, we had a wizard as point guard at Force at Michigan, another West Orange, New Jersey guy named Elliot Cadeau, and now to be able to coach Kyrie the following year. And I don't throw the term wizard out lightly when it comes to point guard, but these guys, they make everyone around them better. And so I can't imagine any scenario where everyone on a roster is not a little bit better because of Kyrie.
Okay, so I believe you have one of the more interesting starts to a career. Just your career in general has been fascinating, but starting under Bob Knight at Indiana. I mean, just give me a little piece of what that experience was like.
Well, you start out and you're completely terrified speaking. You're just trying to go unnoticed. And then as you get older and you gain a little bit more responsibility and you're around, you realize the genius of Coach Knight. I mean, he was ahead of the game when it comes to analytics, when it comes of modern teaching. You know, he strived to be the best in every facet of coaching. And it was an honor to even be in to contribute to in that program, even at the smallest level.
Coach, we're all excited, I know, watching that, to see players with the NIL and things like that. But how difficult has that made coaching? How, and the struggles that you have to go through, and the way your team turns over, and it comes down to maybe finances and stuff. How much of a struggle is that now for the college basketball coach?
Well, I don't think the NIL is what makes the struggle what it is. To me, in my opinion, it's the every single player on every team is an unrestricted free agent every sure. single season. Right. And so even when I leave, we had a top three roster signed and committed to be back at Michigan. But because of a coaching change, they now have 14 unrestricted free agents until the portal closes in a few weeks. Imagine I take the Mavericks job, and because Jason Kidd's no longer the coach and I am, the Cooper, Kyrie, D-Live, all these guys are now unrestricted free agents. Yeah. And it's just there aren't enough hours in the day to evaluate, recruit, retain, and do everything necessary to maintain stability and continuity without any form of contract. And even the contracts that are signed, players can just say, you know what, I'm not going to, you know, even in FIBA court, the contracts are held to contractual law. And in college, players will sign a contract with one university on a Saturday and take an official visit on Wednesday and sign for twice the money on Thursday. And that's just how it is. And so I think it's the uncertainty more than the NIL, because when you're generating the revenue that these athletic departments are, the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, the players certainly deserve a piece of that pie, and they have for a long time. The problem is there's only a few that are generating that type of revenue, and there are hundreds and hundreds that aren't. And so that's just the different levels, and there's just a lot of problems that there really aren't any reasonable solutions for without a complete rebuild.
Did you get to soak in the joy of winning the Natty, or was it just right back to work? Have you even gotten a chance to sit back and sort of appreciate it?
You know, no, but look, I'm not blaming the environment of college athletics because of myself not enjoying it like some people would. I enjoyed how much that team supported each other, how they grew as one, and they loved each other and they loved competing with each other. I enjoyed that more than the championship, and rarely do you have a team that you feel like maxes out 100% to their ability. They can't be any better together than each of the individual parts. And so the reward of that team was throughout the season, spending every day for 5 months with them versus cutting down the nets after that one pinnacle moment. So a lot's been made about my lack of excitement and I guess celebration for the national championship, but we celebrated after every practice at how our guys competed and played. And so that's more of a personality flaw on my part than anything else, I think.
I think, I mean, some of the best coaches are, you guys are all a bit psycho. That's just the nature of being at the height of coaching and athletics. But maybe my favorite coaching tactic that I read that you did was at one point you had a pizza truck pull into the driveway of your home and you had a nice little pizza party bonding moment with your Michigan team.
Yeah, we tried to do a lot of things like that. We would bowl together. We've done Top Golf. We've done literally anything where just guys are spending time off the court, getting to know each other. And the Mavs organization are doing the same thing. We have a great team around our guys. And so these guys can feel a part of something bigger than themselves. But, you know, that's it's part of being in a great group and a great organization where you really learn about each other and appreciate each other's backgrounds and where we all came from. And it just makes it so much more enjoyable when you do something special with a group that you've really gotten to know and you'll be a part of their life forever. So that's what we're striving for here as well. But I'm also a pizza connoisseur. Ooh, so selfishly, you could pull a pizza truck up to my house any day of the week and that would be good.
Let's go.
Pizza, Rod Wave, championships. That seems like that's the trio here for Dusty May.
I'm a simple man.
Well, Dusty May, one day you will be considered Dusty June here in Dallas. We can feel it. We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Coach.
There he goes. New Mavericks head coach Dusty May with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Absolutely fantastic. I love it. And, dude, that was a lot of fun.
He's awesome.
Good coach.
He's fantastic.
I cannot wait for this entire new era of Mavericks basketball. We just made a friend here, I think, with Coach May. So hopefully we can get him back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little pizza action. We can get it done. All right. So let's pick up the pieces here. Walchuk, we still have the top 10 list we got to get to. We'll hodgepodge it. We'll do it all. All coming up next right here on The Fan.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.